You're listening to the StudyClicks podcast, your number one source for junior and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier.
Welcome back to another episode of the StudyClicks podcast.
It's just the two of us again.
It's just the two of
us. No more guests.
Sadly, we're out of guests. Just kidding. We're not out of guests. We have other lovely guests lined up, but we decided that we would do another one, just the two of us, and talk about our usual antics. Not usually. We have no antics. It's a pandemic. We do nothing.
We're two sisters who work for StudyClicks. I'm Nessa. I do StudyClicks with social media, and I do this podcast with my sister Emer.
Yes, that's me. I also work for StudyClicks. You might know me if you use StudyClicks. I email people a lot saying different stuff, trying to give out different tips. So yeah, now you know who that is, or you know my voice at least. So anyway, the podcast is usually myself and Nessa either talking amongst ourselves or talking to experts in a field about a subject or a type of maybe school, study, learning thing. And yeah, we just try to give advice and tips and help you students out there do as best as you can, get through the whole experience and stay happy, etc. So this week's podcast is a fun one. We're hoping that it's going to be nice, lighthearted, relaxing, and relevant.
Very relaxing.
Relevant to everyone. So sometimes, you know, we have stuff that's only really relevant for 6 years or whoever it might be, but these should be tips that everyone can try and implement in their life, regardless of where you're at or who you are.
Exactly. So with that, this week's episode is all about self-care and our tips for self-care, different routines that you can do, things that you might not have thought of and you're like, oh, that's a good idea, I might try do that. Yeah, just basically things that we've come across ourselves, things that we found work for other people, things that work for us, things that we can just, that seem so simple, literally anyone can do them. It doesn't cost a fortune often, very often it costs nothing. Just self-care, it gets pandered around a lot, a term of like, oh, just self-care is just like, oh, my mental health is cured forever kind of a thing. But it's only just kind of these little things that you can do that when you're in a bad mood or you're feeling down, you're not feeling great. These little things that you can do to make yourself feel better, help you feel like you're back on track. And that's what we're here to do today, just to give you some ideas on how you can do that.
Yeah, and everyone deserves a bit of self-care. Everyone can do a bit of self-care. It's not like, I think some people might think, I don't need that, I'm fine, or, you know, I don't have time for self-care. And this is your message. This is your sign to remove that thought from your mind, because you do deserve self-care. Everyone deserves self-care. A bit of self-care in your life. Time for yourself to just sort of bring it back to you and bring it back to basics and just make sure that you're staying happy and healthy and all of that good stuff. So
I don't know, is it worth saying, but I feel like the thing self-care is, people might often think it's like a girly thing. When people think self-care, they're like, oh, do a face mask, or like,
who says that men can't have a face mask? Anyway, sorry, go on.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. It's like typically like some men who are like, might be put off it because they're like, oh, it's something that's marketed towards women kind of a thing. And because of these typically feminine things. But like, self-care is for absolutely everyone. And if you're a boy or a man listening to this, then you can absolutely take any of these tips on board. Self-care is for everyone. Everyone's mental health matters.
Yeah, I suppose just remember that the self-care is super important, especially in leaving cert years and any year you're doing an exam, or if you're particularly prone to anxiety or whatever. It is so important to not put it aside, regardless of how much stuff you have going on. You should make time for this. It's so important to put your health first, put your happiness and your well-being first. I know it might seem that it's, you know, worth pushing those things to the side just until you get your exams out of the way, but trust us, it's not. You should give a little bit of time at least to this kind of stuff. So without further ado, should we get started?
Let's list off a few of our things.
Me and Nessa made separate lists before this podcast, so we're just kind of gonna maybe go back and forth. I'm sure we have some stuff that overlaps, but do you want to go first?
Well, I was looking at your list and I think it's very important to start out with the point that like, you and me could have different things for what self-care is for us. But I think to start off, it's very important to find out what self-care means for you.
Yes.
It kind of just comes down to what makes you happy, what makes you relaxed. And if we say something now that's like, say someone's like, oh, exercise, get those endorphins. Like, that's, it's not one size fits all. Like, not everything's going to work for everyone. We might say one thing and you're like, okay, no, that's not for me. So it really is kind of trying out maybe different things. Like say we maybe we might suggest something and you might think it's not something for you, but it might be worth trying out. Or you could try out something and then see that it's not for you. That's fine. But it is, you, there's no point in like forcing yourself to do something because it's typically considered self-care. Like, it is, it all comes back to what actually works for you.
Yeah, and like, you know how I was saying earlier that some people think that they don't need self-care, like they don't have time for it, or like they can focus on the whole self-care thing after they're done studying. That I was talking about myself. That is me. Because even like throughout my college years, I just never made time for myself. I either did part-time work or I did study, and that was it. I maybe had like a couple of things that I was convincing myself was self-care, which, you know, they were, it wasn't nothing at the same time, but I think I only fully realized after I stopped studying that I started to actually learn what things I enjoy doing in my spare time that helped me wind down, that helped me relax. I was not trying those things out when I was studying because I did always have this thought, you know, oh, put it to the side, I don't need to think about it. So it's only now that I've actually been had the time to appreciate what my brain enjoys doing to relax, or you know, certain hobbies that I hadn't given the time to before, and now I know them. So I think it's good to give it I know like time is short and everything at the moment, but try to give some of these things a bit of reflection and a bit of time and a bit of appreciation so that you know what self-care is for you, so that it's effective. Because if you're just doing things that you that are maybe labeled as self-care, but as you say, doesn't fit you and your personality or whatever, then it's not really self-care. It's just you forcing a relaxation technique or whatever that actually doesn't work for you, which is not a useful way to spend your time either.
No, and on that point, actually, that kind of just reminds me of like when I was in the throes of sixth year and everything was really stressful. And I, you do actually get to a point, especially if you leave things last minute, that you're like, any minute that I don't spend studying is time wasted. And while I would love to do these self-care tips, I'm probably actually much better off spending that time studying.
Wrong.
That is wrong. Yeah, it's like your mental health, like it can never be underestimated how important it is. Like the time, it's one of the most basic study tips is to take breaks, because if you work your brain constantly and you're not giving it rest, if you're not giving it time to relax and re-energize, then it's not actually going to be working to its full capacity. You might as well take breaks. During that time, your brain is processing stuff. It's, you basically just don't want to. If you end up working too hard, you burn out and you actually end up losing time in the long run. So you might as well incorporate these breaks and these self-care tips now to help you study better in the long term.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of studies done in this field, not even in just the study field, but also in the working world, you know, that you can be more productive if you use your time more wisely as opposed to using your time longer, you know, as in like people are all for the 4-day working week now, and like a lot of studies in countries who've tried it out have shown that it like people are exactly as productive as they are with a 5-day week, or it's the same with study, you know, that someone who studies for 3 hours every evening, 7 days a week, could be just as productive as someone who only does 2 hours 5 days a week, or whatever it might be. I'm kind of just throwing numbers around here, but you know, it's not about how long you study for, it's about how effective and productive the study is. And it's, you will be more productive if you give yourself these breaks and time off, because you're coming back to the work a lot more, like you say, re-energized, rejuvenated, ready to go, feeling more positive about it because you've given yourself that time off and you have let your brain relax and you've sent all of these lovely, happy hormones around your body who are now ready to help you study much better than, you know, let's say if you hadn't done that and you're just kind of gloomy and not wanting to do this anymore. That, you know, it's not rocket science. It is, when you think about it long enough, you're like, of course, that makes sense.
Yeah. So now that we've kind of gotten to the, like, I don't know what, basically an explanation of self-care and kind of self-care at its core, now maybe we'll like throw out ideas, like stuff that we do for ourselves that we think really helps.
Yes.
Do you want to go first?
Yes. Well, any like long-term fans of the podcast will know that I talk about how I love
The original Emer stands.
I I talk every now and then about how much I love baking. So that's like my go-to thing to wind down, you know, or to just release any stress, or even if I'm like in a good mood, I just love doing it. I just think it's great. And that's like we were saying, that's my favorite hobby, that if some other people I know get really stressed out by baking because it can be a bit exact sometimes, and then if it goes wrong, it's even more devastating than when you started. But personally, like things like baking bread, you know, there's a lot of like kneading and working the dough, and I just find that's great for like if, especially if you're kind of stressed and you're just sort of working out all these emotions into the dough or into the bread, or if you're beating something like whisking egg whites or something, you're just sort of moving your body. And we'll get onto this later, but like we don't want to preach too much the whole, because everyone always talks about doing exercise or getting out there, and of course that's helpful, but like, you know, there is definitely a lot to be said for just moving, you know, get your blood pumping, all that kind of stuff. Anyway, but the point is, I love baking. That's what I do. Anytime I'm stressed or annoyed, I just bake. If I'm in a particularly bad mood, I'll also put on some music in the background. If I'm home alone, I'll dance around the kitchen. It is just a joyful time. And like, yeah, that's what I do. It's a really fun time.
And on the lines of baking, I was just going to say that's like the odd time on Instagram, I would see a few people I follow and they just post like a picture of brownies or like cupcakes that they've just made, and it's just like, and it's just labeled in this fancy font called Sunday baking. And I think even by just looking at the picture, I feel relaxed. Like I say, oh, that is soothing. That's such a nice Sunday activity, you know, and you kind of associate the day Sunday as the day of rest and doing things for you. So I think baking is a really good one. And something, and kind of along those lines, I'm not really that creative or arty. In fact, I'm actually horrible at drawing. But I think along those lines, if you're really into art, if you like doing just, I don't know, whatever kind of drawing you do, whether that's actually like portraits or making art out of pasta, you know, that's also, that can be really kind of like putting, like Ymir said, you're doing something physical, you're using your hands, you're kind of working through your thoughts, kind of a thing, and you're being creative, and that's also a really good outlet for any frustrations you might have or just kind of stress that's building up. So if you're really into art, that's another one I would suggest.
I would also say that I think there's a common misconception out there that there's like a creative person and there's not a creative person. I think everyone is creative, and it's just about finding what way you're creative in. Like I would have always said the same thing as you, that I'm not that creative. You know, I draw sometimes, but it's never that good, and I'm always very hard on myself on the stuff that I do try to create. But A, it's not the point. Like, even if you're not good at what you're creating, like you say, you're still using your hands, you're still kind of throwing stuff that's in your brain onto a piece of paper, whatever it might be, that's good. But also, it's you know, creative doesn't have to be good at drawing or amazing at painting. Being creative can be anything. I've only sort of really recently realized that baking, for example, is quite creative. You know, the idea of coming up with a recipe where you put one ingredient with another, or like fancily icing a cake, that is really creative. And I think everyone puts a lot of emphasis on drawing and painting in particular, but you can be creative in so many ways. You know, it's whether you're embroidering something or playing music is creative. Like if you play any instrument and you just spend a bit of time messing around with the keys on a piano or the strings on a guitar, whatever it might be, that's creative. Like it doesn't have to just be this idea of, you know, art class in school. That's not the limitations of creation. So if you're out there going, oh well, I can't use, you know, creativity as an outlet to release my stress because I'm not creative, I would challenge that thought and try and rethink it and say, okay, maybe I am creative, I'm just not picturing what creativity is in the right way, and go and try and find what creativity is for you.
Yeah, I love that. That's a very good point. So, one thing that I do, I think this is a habit I've built up actually since I was 12, but I think nowadays, especially in the context of COVID and everything that's going on, life is so much tougher than usual. I think one of the best habits that I have is that I'm big into journaling. And people might think of journaling as like this kind of super, I don't know, you have to be really insightful and you have to be like, you have to have be like good at writing or anything to do that. And it's not that at all. It's just that I am obsessed with just documenting my life.
Ha
Part of me is like, I really like it's for when I'm 90 and I'm super bored inside the nursing home because everyone annoys me and I have no friends and I can't read anymore because my eyesight's gone so bad, so I make the nurses read my writing back to me. And it'll just be some random day where I'm like, ugh, went to the post office today and there was someone, the person working in the post office was really mean to me. 2018. But like honestly it's so I honestly love it. So on one hand I love it for the memories, like my friends on like when we get together I have like dramatic readings of my diary because I always write in such detail. Like we all went on a holiday in 2018 and I was able to read back from days. My friends like, oh my god, I completely forgot about that day, I completely forgot that happened. Like everyone knows that I'm the person with the memories, like if they want to remember something that happened, I'm like, oh, I have the receipts, let me consult the archives.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's great.
It's
I'm like so bad and my memory is awful. I can't remember any like stuff that happened last week. I can't remember it. So I should do that, but I'm just too lazy. This is a great example of not everything suits everyone. Like yeah, that
yeah,
wouldn't suit
absolutely
me
a bit.
because I find that taxing to write stuff down, but it works for
I
you.
think the majority of my journaling comes from habit. The fact that I've been doing it so long, people are I totally understand that people find it so hard to get into because it seems very time consuming. And me especially, the more I got into it, the more time I spent on it. So when people see me write my diary and they're like, oh my God, I feel like I'm always seeing you writing that thing. And people are like, oh, I can never spend as much time as you. But I think it's like the more you really like something, the more time you will spend on it, kind of a thing. Because I know Emer had like, you actually had a line a day diary, kind of a thing that kind of only takes 2 minutes. So you could start out with something really small. And if you do really like, if you find your, it is actually something that appeals to you, it's something that you could end up writing more and more, and it could actually be. You find out you might be actually be good at writing, and on as a side note, it really helps with English in school.
I would say as well, like it doesn't have to be like you do it, writing in, a blow by blow account of what happened to you every single day. It can also just be, I think journaling always comes up in tips on how to care for your mental health there. Like it always comes up there as well. People recommend writing down your thoughts. You could go down that route as well. Like instead of just writing down every single thing that happened to you in that day, you could just maybe at the end of a week write down the main thoughts you had that week, anything that was annoying you, write it down on a piece of paper. It doesn't have to be, a story. It can just be your thoughts as well that you're getting them out on a piece of paper instead of keeping them locked up inside your brain and they're bothering you. There's a lot to be said for just writing them down on a piece of paper and getting them out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually going to say that as well. I feel like sometimes I think that is actually the best thing I do for my mental health because while at its like it's fundamentally just actually a habit for me, like I'm kind of nearly addicted to doing it now. I can't go a day without doing it, but I still think that it is something that I do that is actually keeps my mental health really, really in check because I had something there a couple of weeks ago where I was just kind of really couldn't stop going over in my head about something someone had said to me, and so I just wrote out about it in my diary, and I wasn't even thinking about it that much even in my head anymore. So the fact that I physically got it out onto paper was such a huge help.
Amazing.
So yeah, it's if it's something you haven't considered before, I would seriously recommend it.
Wonderful. I suppose I didn't. My very first point about baking, my point there wasn't you should bake, it was you should do something you love. I feel like I didn't make that clear. Just wanted to clear that up that self-care is doing something that it makes you happy, whether it's reading a book, whether it's doing a bit of a dance, whether it's singing at the top of your lungs for an hour, whether it's playing board games with your family. I don't know, whatever it might be, but it's about not forgetting to do what you genuinely enjoy and always making time for that. My next one was making time for yourself. I would recommend at least once a week, but some people will, once a month or more than once a week, whatever it is. But to pamper yourself, just sort of treat yourself, be super nice to yourself. For me, that sort of is going for a bath or, the typical, yeah, like we were saying at the start of the podcast, these typical spa things like buying a hair mask and a face mask and sitting in the bath, and maybe you have nice smelling candles lighting and creating this nice atmosphere for yourself. I think that's, I personally love that and it helps me really relax. I tend not to bring my phone in either, so I have like, 30 minutes distraction-free, where I'm alone with my thoughts. If I have any thoughts to process, I try to process them, get them out there. That's hard to do otherwise when you're like constantly getting notifications or whatever it might be. Or if you don't have that many thoughts to process, then it's still just a nice time where you're focusing on yourself, you're reminding yourself that, you know, I'm worthy of this nice time, and I deserve to give myself this little bit of pampering and just check in with myself again. So yeah, personally for me it's a bath and candles and nice music playing in the background, but again, find what that is for you and make sure to incorporate that, I would say, at least once a week. It doesn't have to be a long thing, it just has to be regular enough that you are giving yourself this time to relax and treat yourself and be kind to yourself.
I am so jealous that you have a bath. I don't know when's the last time I was able to take a bath. We don't have one in our house. What I do anyway, us bathless people, is I actually only started doing this like 2 months ago, but it was kind of like, you know, it's kind of the typical on every Sunday evening you get Sunday dread, like whether it's like going back to school or going back to work, it's just like, oh, the weekend's nearly over. And to combat this feeling, like even though I obviously love working for Study Clicks, I always like just hate the weekend ending. So to kind of combat that feeling, it's what I do is I have introduced what I call self-care Sundays. Very appropriate for the self-care podcast. But I always, so earlier on in the day, I always, on the Sunday kind of afternoon, I always change my bed sheets, fresh bed sheets, and I wash my pajamas. Very nice habit. Wonderful. I've gotten into. I have a dust allergy as well, fun fact about me, so I do actually have to change them that regularly. And so like everyone, like that's just kind of like peak self-care. Everyone knows how lovely it is to sleep in fresh sheets and fresh pajamas.
Oh, yes.
So, and then I do the classic, a face mask. I feel like I don't even care what it does for my skin. I just feel like the act of doing a face mask feels like self-care. So I just feel good about it. I make a bowl of popcorn. I love popcorn, my favorite food. And I watch a movie from my childhood. I do that every Sunday and I always look forward to it. So I have something to look forward to on a Sunday evening instead of feeling that Sunday dread.
Just you telling me about that makes me feel warm and fuzzy. That's so nice. It's like just genuinely wholesome.
Isn't it lovely? Yeah.
But, oh, that's so nice. Yeah, and on the film thing, like that was one of my points, that watch a film you love. I definitely underestimated this because like I think films can be tricky because they're typically like, you know, 90 minutes long at least, and people feel like they don't have time for that. And, you know, maybe that's true at some points, but maybe it's more of a weekend thing or like an evening where you've accepted that you're not getting anything done and you're just going to give yourself the time off, which as regular listeners will know, we always try to recommend that if you can recognize that you're not going to get anything else done and your brain doesn't want to that evening, then you should just stop. Anyway, let's say it's one of those evenings, then a film you love. My God. So I only really realized this recently because I'm a bit like that as well, that I find movies too much of an investment, kind of, that it's like, oh God, I have to sit down for an hour and a half, an hour, 2 hours. And it's like, oh, I'd just rather watch a short show or whatever it might be. But the other night I watched Juno, which we watched so often as kids, or like that it had a real nostalgia factor for me. So when I watched it and just like the soundtrack, because we listened to the soundtrack so much as children as well. So like everything was just like,
so often.
I was just like the whole time serotonin was flowing freely through my body because it just reminded me, I was kind of transported back to this childhood time where everything was happy and easy and free and, you know, especially like now, obviously, there's a lot of doom and gloom around the place and it's hard to stay happy and preppy. And I think it's okay to lean sometimes on nostalgia a bit and get, you know, the happy memories from that and try to get that to fuel your current state. I think that definitely works for me. I think, and, you know, I think maybe not to depend on it too much, but I think it's okay to lean on it, especially in times when you just want to not be distracted by the current terribleness. Just escaping for an hour or two to a time that was happier for you. That's what it was for me, at least when I was watching Juno. I was just insanely happy watching it.
I have a list, actually. I have a Google Doc that I've been keeping track of films when I come across them that I haven't seen in ages. Then I'm gonna watch them again. Next week is Miss Congeniality.
Oh,
very much looking forward
film.
To it. What a classic.
Wow.
So yeah, I suppose that's that point on the point of favorite films and general self care. You now know about my Sunday self care routine that I
We're
love so
learning a lot
much.
about Nessa this week.
That's fun. Actually, on the point of self care, and this is something I literally did 3 days ago. Every time I walk into my room, it's like a fresh wave of serotonin hits me in the face. So last Saturday, I just randomly took a notion. I was just kind of tidying my room a bit, and I just randomly took a notion to rearrange all the furniture in it. It's completely underrated for how much it can, like, I honestly feel like my perspective on life has changed. I spent so much I know that's such a dramatic statement, but I honestly, like I said, I did it Saturday, so I did it, today's Tuesday that we're recording, so I did it 3 days ago, and I honestly still feel the same that I did when I did it on Saturday, that it's just like, it just looks like a new room. It's so clean, I've been keeping it clean because I want it to stay as lovely as it is now, and it's just like, I have a corner for like me, and then I work in my room as well, so I have a corner for work, and I'm just so proud of myself. Like, the setup is just really, really nice, and as well, of course, I completely, like, while I was moving stuff around, I, like, hoovered, and I did a big declutter, and I got rid of stuff that I realized that I was holding on to for absolutely no reason. And I just feel like physically decluttering my room also kind of, like, took a physical weight off
Oh my
me,
God.
If that makes
any
sense.
Yeah, that happens to me all the time as well, like, throwing out clothes you never wear anymore, all that kind of stuff.
So yeah, I would recommend that. I know a lot of people might listen to this, might share a room, and they might have the authority to go changing stuff around. But if there's something like, I hadn't done that in years, if you feel like you could do with electrical, it feels like a fresh start. It feels like a new room. So if you have, or if you share it with someone, maybe just ask them if you can move stuff around. But I honestly think it's just such a lovely feeling, and the buzz that you get after it lasts for ages.
That's great. And I agree wholeheartedly. I unfortunately can't really change around my room the way my furniture and the room layout is. It just doesn't really work. But I'm very jealous that you can do that. I adored that feeling when I could do it in my old room.
It's a good way of releasing anger as well, I've heard, that you're just pushing around furniture. You just like push your anger into the furniture.
Interesting. Okay, so my next one was turning off your phone. So I sort of briefly mentioned this when I was talking about the bath, but like having time where you're not with your phone. Again, like everything here, this is personal. Some people might be maybe need their phone for whatever reason and can't just like get rid of it for a certain amount of time. Some people will recommend that like you get into the habit of always turning off your phone after a certain hour in the evening, like let's say after 8 o'clock, you just put your phone away, you don't look at it again till the morning. I would love to be able to do that. I'm definitely too addicted to my phone to be able to do that. But like, it's something that you could try if it's something that's possible to you. There's many reasons why you should be doing this, both study and self-care reasons. You know, the constant notifications coming in, distractions, even if you're not getting notifications, we all know that you will instinctively pick up your phone and only 5 minutes later realize that you're looking at your phone because you don't remember consciously picking it up and opening it. But I think in terms of self-care, I personally felt a huge difference for my mental health and my happiness and my well-being when I deleted a couple of social media apps that weren't doing me any good. Like I deleted Instagram for a while and felt wonderful after it. You know, Instagram is nice. I don't condemn using Instagram, and I think it's a nice way to keep in touch with people as well, or like see new trends or like find new ideas and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is most of the time it's quite artificial, and people are posting stuff that isn't maybe the reality, or they want it to look really good, but that's not how it is in real life. And that can make you feel really bad because you're like, oh, look at them having such a great time and I'm not, or look at them looking so skinny and I'm not, or you know, especially people have so many body issues or whatever issues, and seeing this kind of stuff constantly in front of you on social media can be quite damaging and just exhausting, to be honest. I found that it wasn't like super super damaging to me. I just found it exhausting to like just seeing it all the time, and like especially because I would just go into it unconsciously. I would go into the app and just start scrolling, and once I deleted it, I just felt a lot better because I was like, oh, this wasn't adding to my life, and now I just feel sort of a weight lifted off me that I don't have to look at this all the time anymore. So you don't have to delete Instagram if you really like it or whatever, but I think you know, maybe try and figure out if any of those apps are adding to any stress or sadness? Do you, like, if you click into them or when you're sort of finished using one of them, do you feel better? Do you feel worse? If you feel that you feel worse, then maybe consider limiting the time that you use on that app. You can use, anyone with an iPhone can do that using the iPhone, or you can get apps to limit your usage of these kind of things. I think, yeah, it's just be cautious, I suppose, of social media use, because they can be damaging, especially the ones where it's very much about appearance, that can make people feel really bad about themselves.
Yeah, I think on that, it might be a good, like, if you wanted to kind of create a habit out of it, because I feel like habit is a huge part of self-care and like how we look after ourselves and our mental health. But you could say, like, have an hour once a week, or you could start off at once a week, and then it might start out as once, go on the once a day if it works for you, that you just say no screen, and then no screens at all, so you don't have a computer, don't have your phone, and you just find something else to do during that hour, whether it's reading a book or baking or just being outside or going for a walk or exercise or anything like that, just that you're away from your screen and you have that time for yourself, kind of on a routine basis, that it just, you are taking the break that you need from it, that it's not constant. Another kind of a reason that might be a good idea to kind of turn, go away from social media, and I find there's so much news on social media, and as we know at time of recording, news is so terrible right now, like it's just at its absolute worst, and the constant kind of cycle of bad news can really get you down. So yeah, just it's a good idea that if it's like, if it's not too important, to just take a break from it. Like, reading the news all the time can really get you down.
I would say, though, to sort of contradict myself, I find that social media can be helpful in some ways. Like, I would say that I've learned a lot from TikTok and Twitter, particularly just from people talking about things like this, like self-care or like mental health issues or like body positivity or all of these kind of stuff, or things that I wouldn't really have maybe gone out to search for myself, but they're just sort of presented to me on my timeline or on my FYP, and therefore I learn about it that way, and I've kind of, you know, from seeing maybe a 60 second video on how to improve my self-care tips or how to feel better about something, how to reduce anxiety, all this kind of stuff, that you know, it can be helpful from that point of view. So don't, it doesn't have to be vilified. I'm not trying to like totally talk down social media or say that it's awful. It's not. It does have some benefits as well. I think it's good. It's more about being cautious about it and trying to recognize if something is making you feel bad, then try to cut it out, or try to, like you say, make a habit to reduce it at least.
Yeah, absolutely. One kind of, when I was researching this, and one thing that kind of came up a lot in the terms of self-care, and I think it's probably one of the most important ones, is talk to someone. Like, they can never underestimate how important it is to literally just connect with another person and just talk it out, because I feel a lot of time, especially in these times, as I've already said about 40 times in this own podcast, things are pretty bad right now, and you're more likely to be more stressed than you were this time. I can't even say this time last year, but like this time a year and a half ago, that things are just, it's so much harder to actually treat yourself. Like, you can't really go out and you can't actually physically meet people. But if you're getting really pent up inside and you're getting angry and you're getting frustrated at the situation, but you're not talking to anyone about it, if you're just keeping it all to yourself, that's just furring inside you. And it's just, you're, when you're keeping it to yourself, you're only just hurting yourself more. And it's just, so much of that is just taken away from you when you share it with someone else. It sounds so cheesy because it's like a problem halved, or a problem shared is a problem halved, kind of a thing. But especially if you're talking to someone, like say you're doing the Leaving Cert and you have exams coming up, and it, and you need to talk to someone else who's going through the exact same thing. So you can, you might realize, oh, you have the exact same worries, the exact same stresses. It'd be really good to talk to someone. Just literally taking it away from yourself and saying it to someone else can have such a huge positive impact on you.
And a lot of the time, the person you say it to, if they're going through a similar experience, they're probably going through the same thing and will really be able to, they might be relieved that you finally opened up to it. I think we have a problem in Ireland with saying stuff, or like we feel like we always have to be happy people because we are a very nice, you know, welcoming, happy, go lucky, love the crack, all that kind of stuff, which is great. But like, that sometimes inhibits people's ability to just be real and not be okay for a while, and to talk about their issues or any sadness, I think. And I think we do need to try and challenge that, and especially as young people, you know, the, today's students can try and do that. So I think it's really, really positive if you do try and talk to someone and sort of break this cycle of, oh, we can't talk about our feelings, we can't talk about if we're sad because we're such a happy people. No, like, I almost guarantee that if you do open up to someone and tell them how bad you're feeling or stressed, or even if you're just feeling meh, people like when people open up to other people. Like, I love when someone comes to me with a problem because it tells me that they trust me. It makes me feel really good as a friend. And people also love to help other people. So people will be delighted to, you know, try and do a good thing for someone else that they probably love. There's no downside to try and talk to someone else about what you're going through.
Yeah, absolutely. And the more people, the better. You could do something like, I started doing this with my friends recently, actually, that we watch a movie over Zoom together. So we all press play at the same time, kind of a thing, but we're all, and then we kind of have the Zoom kind of, or whatever we're using, kind of minimized so we can all see each other. So just, that's just kind of, you might be sick of the whole, and that's like totally fine. We're sick of having to meet up, or not being able to physically meet up and having to do these Zooms constantly. We've been in it a year now. That's completely understandable, but just kind of giving you more ideas for like just various different games. You can play Battleships online. You have those Jackbox yokes. Like, there are so many things that you can do to kind of release, kind of just to hang out and be present with friends online while kind of having fun and being entertained, all that kind of thing. It helps with the whole de-stressing thing, is basically what I'm saying.
Or use forums, like go onto the Study Clicks discussion forum. You'll find your people there. There's so many different people chatting there every day, going through the exact same experience as you. So that's a great one to take advantage of as well.
Yeah, I have seen friendships blossom on the StudyClicks forums. I'm waiting for a StudyClicks marriage one of these days.
Okay, so we're rattling on. It's a pretty long podcast at this point. But I just wanted, one thing that I wanted to say, that a thing that has revolutionized my own self-care over the last couple of years is learning to say no and putting yourself first. I don't know if this is a personal thing or an Irish thing, probably a bit of both, but I think I am definitely a people pleaser, and I always want that everyone else is happy, and that therefore I sometimes would then put myself into situations that I don't particularly want to be in, but I just don't want to disappoint anyone else. Learning to sort of not do that, it's really hard, but it's very good for your own self-care, and like just saying no to things. If someone's like, okay, and can we do this, or do you want to come to this thing, if you genuinely know that you don't want to do that thing, it's okay to say no and just be like, look, it's not my thing. I think it's fine to be honest and frank about it. People most of the time like honesty, and if they don't like your honest answer about you not enjoying something or not wanting to do something for a valid reason, then maybe you need to reconsider whether they're an amazing person in the first place, you know? So I think I've definitely started doing that, just being honest with people. If I'm invited to something that I know isn't my thing, I'll just be like, oh, honestly, it's just not something that I'm into, or I don't really feel like doing that right now, I'm not in the right place for it, or all that kind of stuff. It takes time and it takes effort, but I think it is really good. I've just felt a lot better about it, just saying, like, honestly, like saying it to myself in advance, is, am I going to enjoy this? Probably not. So why am I going, you know? Or like making sure that you're not being taken advantage of as well. I think, you know, if you are someone who typically is a people pleaser, then people can sometimes manipulate that or take advantage of it. So I think it's always good to learn how to say no to things that aren't good for you, within reason. Obviously, don't become a person who just says no to everything just because you can, and then like leave people in the dark or leave people stranded on something they really needed your help with. I think it's about finding the balance, but I think most people would tend to be on the side of always wanting to please people, and therefore doing things that they might not always be comfortable with, or things that they don't always necessarily want to do, or things that will make them stress out for 5 days because they're thinking about this thing that they have to go to. Like, whereas, you know, your mental health would be a lot better, or you'd be a lot less stressed if you just said it straight up, look, this isn't my thing, I'm not gonna go.
Yeah, very good point. Something that I need to be taking on board myself. You're right, as Irish people, we find it hard to do that. And I was just like, it's like the most obvious one. I feel like this comes up with lots, so I'm not going to spend it on it very long, but like, obviously exercise is one of those things that people say is a very good de-stressor, whether it's running, walking, going for a walk, and dancing, taekwondo, or if it's yoga. Like, don't like, I don't want, I feel like whenever this stuff is brought up, people just like roll their eyes like, oh, well done, you've solved mental health, I'm going to do yoga now kind of a thing. The crisis is over. It's just like, it's, if you haven't tried it, just try, if there's something to do with like physical exercise that you haven't tried and you think you might like, try it out. And if you don't like it, you don't have to keep doing it kind of a thing. It's just, I think physical activity is really good as a stress reliever. Just so like find your stress reliever, find something you enjoy doing and you look forward to doing.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like a really strenuous exercise either. Like there's so many different yoga exercises you could do. You can just do very simple stretches if you're not into doing a lot of exercise, or even if it's just breathing exercises where you like raise your arms up and down or whatever. Like it doesn't have to be super strenuous. It's, I suppose the main thing with yoga at least is meditation and mindfulness and just sort of focusing on your breathing. Again, like you're saying, this is always mentioned everywhere, so we don't want to preach for too long about it. But I suppose the point you were making and what I would say as well is like, if you haven't tried it, then don't dismiss it, especially like we were saying at the start, that sometimes boys and men feel like they can't do that kind of thing because it's too girly, because society has taught us that it's girly. It's not. It's for everyone. There's no reason why one group of people should do it and not another. Like,
it's for everyone. Mental health problems affect everyone. I suppose we'll wrap it up there. Drink lots of water.
Drink water.
Unclench your jaw.
Cry.
Do your morning.
Cry
your
morning where you
stretches.
Can.
Cry.
Crying is great. Sleep a decent amount of hours, preferably 7 or 8.
If you live in the middle of nowhere, go into a field and just scream at the top
of
your lungs.
Yeah, that's a good one. But just don't scare anyone. Yeah. So like there are so many things out there. We haven't listed like all the things that you can do. Again, it's about finding your own rhythm. It's about finding the things that you enjoy. But yeah, I hope this podcast was a reminder to everyone who had maybe put self-care to the side, a reminder to think about it and make sure that you are putting time into it and that you are caring about yourself. You are so important and your well-being is so important.
Yeah, and I think even better, again, if you can make a routine or a habit of it, like that you always do this one thing for yourself at a particular, not, you don't have to be so strict that it has to be a particular time of day, but that it's regular enough that you have something to look forward to and you actually build it into your, do you know, when something has, it's a habit, it's built into your psyche kind of a thing, so it becomes part of you. I think that's even better, again, if you can really get that going for yourself.
Yeah, that was a really good one. I think I might start setting up self-care Sundays.
I love my self-care Sundays.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up. So if there are any questions or any suggestions for other podcasts, anything like that, you want to get in touch with us, we love hearing from you. Just contact us via the website. There's a little chat button, or email us at info@studyclicks.ie. Also, please, 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 please give us a rating or a review on wherever you get your podcasts. I think most of them you can give a review or a rating or subscribe to us. We just love hearing what people have to say about our podcast, especially when it's nice. And yeah, it also helps us get seen by other people. If you don't want to do any of that, then what you can also do is tell your friends about us. If you think anyone who would benefit from hearing these kind of tips or anything else that we're saying, then please do let other people know about us and spread the good word.
I just would like to reiterate how much we like reading the reviews. They make, if you care about self-care, for us, for me and Ebert, you would leave a really nice review, because they make me feel so good.
Yes, thank you so much in advance for the nice reviews.
Thank you.
We don't need self-care for the rest of the day if we can.
Thank you so much. And as well, please follow us on all the social media. So if you're on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, or on TikTok, please follow us there, especially TikTok, because it's new and we're doing like lots of fun stuff there. And you can obviously message on any of those platforms as well if you have any questions about anything to do with like studying or the podcast. I'll be there. I'll be on the other end to answer your questions.
So that's it. This was a particularly long podcast. I hope you've made it to the end. Good on you.
We do like talking about ourselves.
But yeah, tune in next time.
Next time, the most irregular scheduled podcast in the world.
Tune in next time. We'll either have a guest on for you or we'll be back to talk about something else interesting. So yeah, bye for now.
Stay tuned. Slán.